Hello, my name is Sinead Corbett. I am an Assistant Director of Public Health Nursing in Wexford. My podcast, The Breastfeeding Village, is, as the name suggests, a podcast devoted to breastfeeding. Over the next 15 minutes, I will explore the reasons behind our extremely low rates of breastfeeding in Ireland. I will be joined by Debbie, a mother of three, to discuss the issues she faced and the support she received. I will also speak to Louise, an Irish board certified lactation consultant, and I will be asking the question, what can we do to make a positive difference? I have looked at the HSE, NHS and UNICEF websites for information on the benefits of breastfeeding. Breastfeeding is shown to have many benefits for mothers, babies and society. For example, mothers who have breastfed have a reduced incidence of breast and ovarian cancer and diabetes. For babies, breastfeeding reduces the incidence of many common childhood infections. And it also appears to have a long-term effect, in that it lowers the incidence of obesity and cardiovascular disease in adulthood. This reduction in incidence of illness and chronic disease leads to an overall healthier population, with less utilisation of healthcare resources. I will now speak to Debbie about her experience of breastfeeding in Ireland. Hi Debbie, you're very welcome to the Breastfeeding Village podcast.
Hi Sinead.
Debbie, can you tell me a little about your three children?
Tim is 21, Emma is 11, and my baby is 3, Beth.
And Debbie, can you tell us, did you breastfeed all your children, and can you share with us maybe some of your experience that you would have had?
I breastfed Tim for 3 months. Emma, I breastfed for 6 weeks, and I am still currently breastfeeding Beth.
So you've had a very different breastfeeding experience with each child.
With Tim, I didn't know anybody that breastfed. You wouldn't even hear people talking about it.
Yeah.
And I, you know, there was no support. So at 3 months, I think it just, you know, I just thought that he had enough, and we just went on from there.
Debbie, you mentioned that you had little support when you were breastfeeding Tim. Can you tell me a little bit more about that? Did you have support from healthcare professionals?
The midwife would have asked me, was I breastfeeding? And they just checked to see was everything okay, but that was pretty much it.
Okay. Were there any breastfeeding groups?
Was aware of.
Okay. And Debbie, what was your experience like breastfeeding Emma?
So with Emma, again, I didn't have any issues initially breastfeeding Emma, but I remember one specific day with Emma, I breastfed her, I left the house, and I drove for 15 minutes. She was crying, and all I could think was, she can't be hungry again. She's just after, you know, having a feed.
Yeah.
I felt helpless and kind of redundant. You know, she wasn't getting enough from me.
How old was she at this stage?
Yeah, she was 6 weeks.
She was 6 weeks, okay.
Yeah. I started with formula then because I didn't think she was getting enough.
Did anyone offer you support at that point, Debbie, or did you know where to go for support? Was there anywhere to turn for support?
I didn't really. I didn't have the information to make an informed decision.
Yeah. Beth is now 3,
yes,
and you're still breastfeeding. So you've had a very different breastfeeding journey with Beth. What do you think made the difference?
This time around, I definitely had more support. My public health nurse this time was very, very supportive of breastfeeding. And if I needed anything, I could just call on her. And it was great to have that. And I suppose looking back, that is part of it as well. You know, that has made my breastfeeding journey easier. And there's actually a local group that I'm involved with. It's Le Leis League. They're great because it's mothers who have breastfed, and you can go and have a cuppa and a chat. It really helped me. And I remember one day I was finding it really tough, and I remember this other lady saying, never give up on a bad day, and that has always stuck with me.
And Debbie, can I ask you, you're breastfeeding a three-year-old, which is very unusual in Ireland. Do you find much negativity towards that decision?
Nothing was ever said to me. Nobody ever came up to me or anything. But I think, you know, you might get the feeling that somebody's glaring at you. But because I knew other mothers that were breastfeeding, it just gave me an inner power to just not care and just put my baby first. And
Where do you feel we need to go from here?
More education for medical staff.
Okay.
Because mothers want to do the right thing and they need the information to make an informed decision.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's easier maybe at the time to go down the formula route.
Yeah.
Whereas if they had the support and the knowledge, they would be able to extend their breastfeeding journey. It can be very difficult in the moment. You can't kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel. But then looking back, in the blink of an eye, you're breastfeeding a three-year-old.
Yeah.
Do you know, and it's just second nature.
Debbie, your experience has shown me how important support is to a mother's breastfeeding journey. And I'd like to thank you for sharing your experience with me on the Breastfeeding Village podcast. Breastfeeding rates in Ireland are among the lowest in the world. 6% of infants in Ireland are breastfed at 6 months, and this is far below the global average of 40% and European average of 25%. This year, the Faculty of Paediatrics, the Faculty of Public Health Medicine, the Institute of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, and the Royal College of Physicians of Ireland published a position paper on breastfeeding. They identified the following barriers to breastfeeding in Ireland: a lack of practical support in the community, conflicting information from healthcare professionals, not enough publicly funded lactation consultants, a formula feeding culture and therefore familial experience of breastfeeding is low, and Ireland's role in the production of infant formula reflects a competing interest. So what is being done to address these barriers? I will now speak to Irish Board Certified Lactation Consultant Louise to discuss her role, the supports that she recommends to mothers, and we will look at how healthcare professionals can support mothers who choose to breastfeed. So Louise, can you tell me a little bit about your role?
Yeah, so as a lactation consultant, Sinead, I suppose it involves visiting new mothers and their families in their home when they're experiencing breastfeeding challenges. And I suppose I offer them support and some guidance around the breastfeeding to help them overcome these difficulties.
In terms of the support that mothers and families receive, Louise, what do you think about the support they receive from other healthcare professionals or from their families and partners?
There seems to be a lack of public funded supports for people like lactation consultants that would be maybe funded by the HSE or some other voluntary groups, because a lot of the time mothers can't really afford the lactation service. They may not have the money for this kind of service.
Yeah.
I feel that they don't really have the supports from their own immediate families or friends, because we live in a formula feeding culture. Yeah. And a lot of our sisters and mothers may have bottle fed and they don't have this information about a normal newborn feeding.
Yeah.
And this can be a challenge for mothers, because a lot of pressure can be put on a mother to maybe, oh, feed your baby, that baby isn't getting enough food, you need to bottle feed that baby. And this can then put a lot of doubt in a mum's mind, and it can lead then on to bottle feeding, maybe just a lack of confidence for the mum.
Yeah, and I spoke to Debbie a little earlier, and Debbie is a mother of three children, and when she was breastfeeding her second child, she said she stopped at 6 weeks because she thought baby wasn't getting enough milk. Is that a very common worry or concern that you come across, Louise?
Yes, Sinead. In view of Debbie's experience, I would come across that quite a lot on a weekly basis, really. This is where I suppose the misleading information and the normal breastfeeding baby would come into it. There is definitely a lack of information, and I feel this needs to be challenged.
And Louise, for any expectant mothers that might be listening, what advice would you give them to get their breastfeeding journey off to a good start?
The antenatal period is such a crucial time, because getting the education and getting the understanding of maybe what to expect within the first 6 weeks, and especially within the first 2 to 3 days. I think if somebody knows what to expect, they have a better chance of maybe continuing on, because they know, okay, this is normal, I'll get through this stage. And maybe the difficulties that they might face, at least if they know it, it might take away some of the anxieties and stress.
So Louise, we know that maternity units in hospitals facilitate antenatal classes and that expectant mothers can get information about breastfeeding at these classes. But do you think it's also important that a family member or a support person also has access to breastfeeding information and education?
I think it's very important that maybe both mum and their families be really key that they have an understanding around breastfeeding as well, because this will add to their support.
And they can attend antenatal classes, can they, Louise, partners of mums?
Yes, they can, absolutely. Yeah. And it would be recommended that they would. So Sinead, also for the antenatal period, linking in with Quidu and Alesh League, these are free support networks within the community and they are very informative, and you can attend as an antenatal mum to these venues, and they really are a good start. Ringing the national HSE line, there's a breastfeeding support line, and I think this is, again, it's an accessible and it's free. So I think trying to gain as much information free as they possibly could.
Louise, I think you make a really good point there. It is important for mothers to know that support needn't necessarily come at a cost. Louise, can I ask you now as well about the support that you would recommend for mothers in the postnatal period?
Yes, absolutely. They will be seen by their public health nurse, and the public health nurse will have quite a lot of information, and they will be quite a good support to them in relation to their feeding. And I think it'd be really important to ring up and maybe ask for extra support if they need it. I think really joining in to one of those supportive groups like Lalesh League or Quidu, again, they're quite informative, and you're linking in with other mums who are going through the same journey as you. And these support groups are very important for mums in the postnatal period. And people make friends from that, and they can link up at other times and they get to know each other, and it's a support network within the community.
So Louise, for any healthcare professionals that are listening who want to make a difference and want to support a mother, what advice would you give to them?
I feel there is quite a lot of information out there, actually. HSE Land has an updated breastfeeding module, which is very beneficial and very informative. And I think maybe if they start there, even ALCI, the Lactation Society of Ireland, they run courses which you can pay for, and this would be a good start. And I think if these were funded by the managers maybe of healthcare professionals, it would be a stepping stone in the right direction, because they cover quite a variety of different topics and they're very informative.
Louise, thank you very much for speaking to me today on the Breastfeeding Village podcast.
Thank you, Sinead, for having me.
On a national level, there are many Irish health policies and programmes that focus on improving rates of breastfeeding in Ireland. These include the HSE National Breastfeeding Action Plan 2016 to 2021, the Slod Care Programme, the National Maternity Strategy, which launched in 2017, and the National Women and Infants Health Programme. These programmes have proposed many breastfeeding support strategies that aim to improve breastfeeding initiation rates, such as the implementation of the World Health Organization 10 Steps to Successful Breastfeeding, and they are indeed very welcome. However, the public consultation for the development of the National Maternity Strategy report that some mothers experience encouragement to breastfeed in the antenatal stage and then a lack of support in the postnatal period. Currently, all mothers and babies are offered a visit from a public health nurse within 48 to 72 hours of discharge from hospital. We heard from Debbie and Louise the benefits of public health nursing support to mothers who choose to breastfeed. O'Sullivan et al. In 2019 identified in a study that public health nursing support can influence the length of breastfeeding duration. Therefore, it is recommended for all mothers who choose to breastfeed that they link in with their public health nurse regularly, and particularly if they're having concerns around breastfeeding. We also heard from Debbie and Louise the important role that breastfeeding groups play. McCarthy Quinn et al. In 2019 explored this role in Ireland and concluded that breastfeeding groups provide mothers with a support network along with knowledge and expertise of other mothers. To date, not all community areas in Ireland have a HSC lactation consultant. This needs to be addressed. There must be a pathway for mothers to receive prompt specialist advice if needed. As mentioned earlier, mothers cite that healthcare professionals give conflicting information. Therefore, healthcare professionals have a responsibility to ensure ongoing professional development in the area of breastfeeding. This is key to providing a healthcare service that is knowledgeable about breastfeeding and has the capacity to support mothers who choose to breastfeed. Looking at the bigger picture, Ireland needs to look at making societal changes if breastfeeding rates are to increase. As a society, we must normalise breastfeeding, and it is shocking to think that mothers still face negative attitudes when breastfeeding in their community. For example, currently Ireland does not legislate for breastfeeding breaks and lactation facilities for mothers in the workplace if their child is over 26 weeks old. Also, a study carried out by Zhu et al. In 2020 in Ireland highlighted that a lack of public facilities was a significant barrier to breastfeeding. Therefore, we must provide mothers with designated spaces to breastfeed or express milk if they choose to use them. To conclude, mothers and families face many barriers to breastfeeding. These challenges flourish in a society that is described as a formula feeding culture. Ireland's relationship with the infant formula industry was not explored in this podcast, but is one of interest. The companies that produce formula encourage mothers to sign up to their online baby and toddler groups. By doing this, are they attempting to circumvent the World Health Organization's International Code of Marketing of Breast Milk Substitutes? And should Ireland place the same restrictions on online advertising similar to those applied to television and radio? Questions for another day, perhaps. The rates of breastfeeding in Ireland are improving slowly, but much remains to be done. Thank you for joining me today on the Breastfeeding Village podcast.